Good to see you. I sure am glad to be back.
Thank God.
Yeah, Lord, I am. Glad to have these folks with us tonight. All the rest of you, I'm glad you're here. I went to my home church today, and it's been dead for 53 years. Now, you can cut some of this off, John, till I get done talking if you want to. Because they might get a hold of it. But I told them that this morning. I mean, I told them. I don't want everybody to know it, but I told them.
One, two, three, together.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here to help us. You're going to jump on us, but you're here to help us, talk kind to us.
Yeah, amen.
Father, Lord God.
Lord God.
Appreciate the church. Appreciate everyone that's in come here tonight.
Amen.
I pray for them.
Oh,
Lord, we just speak to worship. Lord, the Lamb. Our fathers, what a night to worship. What a night to come. Thank you.
Yeah, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, fix us up for another touch and call to heaven. Lord God, may it cost us a touch and worry. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to tell you to praise and bless you for the name. A name that's above everything. And our Father, Lord God, we want to honor you tonight. Pray glory to his holy name. Lord God, and I pray, Father, now touch my pastor. Lord God, in order to fill him with the Holy
Spirit.
Give him liberty to preach tonight. And our Father, and I pray to touch the saints. Lord God, and when you're lost, I pray this will be the night to get saved. Lord God, and I appreciate, Lord God, this place. Lord God, down to the years, Lord God. What you've done here.
Yes.
God, pray for overseas, over the Lord
Mary,
bless them missionaries, the local pastors, the national pastors.
Amen.
Lord God, and those people of God. I pray, God, you get out into those villages. Nobody's ever
there.
I'm glad the poor has the gospel. I feel like, God, the harvest is ripe.
Yeah.
I pray the laborers will go in here, God. And Father, we won't let them down, but we'll pray for
our God.
Our Father, you have to wake us up when we ask you. Our Father, we'll wait before you for him, dear God. Oh God, tonight, now just do, stir us up. Where we need to be stirred. Open our eyes, God. Help us tonight, dear God, to see the fever and all about the harvest. The labors are few. Lord God, now this do tonight, have your way. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
He's my life here.
bless you. Bless you.
Where cheer lies.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad God put it on Diane asked me to have this. I think if the youngins ever get, you know, I was sitting here thinking, boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if these little fellas grow up and they take over where some of us old fellas leave off? I mean, it'll be a great thing, won't it? Train up a child the way it'll go. We need to train them while they're young, train them to know about God. What a friend we have in Jesus. Ricky, you come over here and read that, and then the boys get ready and sing. Read that fact for me, please.
I think Brother Sam read part of this morning, but this we got this yesterday, July 25th, 1998, to Preacher Potter and Brookside Baptist Church from Brother Mitgo. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I do count it a great privilege to be hooked up with Brookside. Over and over when I listen to your tapes, the Lord comes by and blesses me to death. I appreciate you sending me those tapes. I appreciate you very much, Brother Potter. You've helped me more than you will ever know. I thank God that you, Brookside, and the missionaries have helped me to see that you can go all the way with God through the love of God and the grace of God. Everything is going very good over here. We've been giving out tapes all summer. Surprisingly good, the Lord is opening the door again for the Bulgarians. Last week we went to a huge marketplace. We had 1,500 tapes, 1,200 Turkish and 300 Bulgarian. As it always happens, the need was greater than the supply of tapes that we had taken with us. In most of the cases, the Bulgarians were more eager to get the tapes than the Turks. I would like to mention that we get thousands of New Testaments for free. Praise God. In some of the villages that we went to, the Muslims told us straight, give us the Bible. We want to read the Bible. What a blessing. The doors for the gospel are more open than ever. And he capitalized this part. Mitgo doesn't do that too often, but he did in this one. He capitalized this whole sentence right here. He said, we must not miss this time.
Amen.
Yeah. We've been going out as much as we could. The Lord blessed us more than we have ever expected. The Lord loaded us pretty good with his blessings. You can see those hard Muslims crying at the Christian hymns that we sang to them. Most of them would literally drag us into their houses and would tell us, I will gather all my neighbors and you stay here all night long and tell us about God, pray for us, and sing us those hymns. The people that we go to preach to are the poorest in the country. All of our church folks are dirt poor with very few exceptions. Now it is summertime, and the majority of the church folks are having a harder time than they had in the cold winter months. Some of them work for 15 to 30 cents a day just to buy them a loaf of bread. These are the current prices of some of the basic food in Bulgaria. Tomatoes are 10 cents for 2.2 pounds. Cucumbers, 5 cents for 2.2 pounds. Flour, 20 cents for 2.2 pounds. Sugar, 53 cents for 2.2 pounds. Garlic, 70 cents for 2.2 pounds. Onions, 10 to 15 cents for 2.2 pounds. Sunflower oil, $1.20 for a liter. Though it is very cheap, still the majority of our church folks have a terrible time. So you can imagine what the hard Bulgarian winter will be on them. It is a sad sight to see young babies and their mothers cannot afford to buy even their milk. A lot of the problems come because the majority of our church folks have people in prison or they have to take care of several orphan children. We hope the Lord will bless you all very richly in Christ Jesus. All the churches over here send their greetings and their love for you all. We are praying for you all, and we know that the Lord is accepting our prayers of faith in Christ, Brother Mitko. And then after he wrote this, he wrote a little bit on the end here as an addition to it. I'll read that to you. It says, "This is an addition to the email sent to you a while ago. While we have been giving out the tapes and the New Testaments, we have never met anybody preaching, giving out tapes or New Testaments. Most of the churches, with very few exceptions, would sell tapes, New Testaments, and whatever else they have. So you can imagine what a great responsibility lies on us to spread the gospel free of charge. You cannot imagine what a great joy it is for a poor man to get a tape free of charge." Over there, best I can remember, it cost about $2 to buy a music singing tape, that they sell on the streets. At 30 cents a day, that'd take a man almost a week, 6.5 days pay, to buy one tape. And that's why, you think, well, what would it mean to get a free tape? In America, it might not mean much. But over there, it means a lot. And I'm glad that it's not just a free tape, but instead of having rock music on it or country music or something that'll help from America, that would help damn them to hell, it's got something that'll give them eternal life. I thank God. I thank God. I bless His holy name for what He's doing over there in spite of us. Thank God in spite of us what He's still doing. And I thank God for what He's doing in this church. I'm thankful tonight for Brookside. And I thank God for my pastor and for what he's done here. And I know it broke preacher's heart today to see what he saw there at that church. I went with him, drove him up there. But I'm glad, thank God, that it's here. And you say, well, we ain't got much. Well, that may be true. I know we need a lot more, but thank God for what we do have. Thank God for what we do have. I thank God for this. I know hell fights us a lot around here. Have you noticed lately? Have you? Has he been fighting you? I know he does. But when I read something like this, let it come. Let it come. Bless God. If the devil fights, the grace of God will be there. It'll be there when you need it. And I thank God for what he's doing in Bulgaria.
Amen.
I just want to take just a second to. I sit there looking at all these young people standing here singing. I thought, God, what a blessing that is. That helped me. It may not have helped you, but that helped me.
Amen.
And one special reason why it helped me, you know why? As I left work tonight, I have to go right by a Little League field. And right as I went by, I looked up, there's about 100, 125 young people out there waiting to play ball. These kids ages and down. And when I come in here and I seen these, I thought, Lord God, all they'll have is a memory of that little ball game. But when these young people stand up here and sing, and what they hear from this pulpit, that'll last them through all eternity.
Amen.
That'll be the best help that they can ever have. I'd rather have this than just to have a memory of hitting the ball. But to go out there, and I just want to tell young people, I appreciate you standing and singing and watch you sing, because you'll never have any better friend than Jesus.
On a hill called Calvary, Jesus, my Lord, suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. Then they nailed him to a cross, great was the pain and the loss. He suffered it all.
He suffered it all.
Because he loved me.
Because he loved me.
Because he loved me. My Savior died on was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known.
Oh, praise his dear name,
he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know.
He suffered it all.
He suffered it all because he loved me.
Because he loved me.
Then they carried him away, placed him in a lowly grave. Surely they thought that this would be the end of this man.
But on that
third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away.
He arose from the dead,
he arose from the dead because he loved me.
Because he loved me.
Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known.
Oh, praise his dear name,
he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know.
He suffered it all.
He suffered it all
because he loved me.
Because he loved me.
Blessed Lord.
When life's burdens o'ertake us, rest we cannot afford. When all others forsake us, there is strength in the Lord. There is strength beyond measure in God's comforting word. Seek his storehouse of treasure. There is strength in the Lord. Though the foe may assail us and our path may be hard, Jesus never will fail us. There is strength in the Lord. There is strength beyond measure in God's comforting word. Seek his storehouse of treasure. There is strength in the Lord.
I appreciate the singing, and I appreciate the children singing. I appreciate Brother Ricky reading that. Say I'm ready this morning. I want to get that on the, radio. I done wrote out a letter. I want to get it on the radio and get it in the mail and get it in every church I can get it into and get everybody the help I can and get all I can done. Amen. We're not called to just sit here. We're not saved to be whatnots.
Amen. Amen. Excuse me for a minute. First of all, I'd like to thank the Lord for saving my soul.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm from Detroit, 600 and some miles away from my church. I just want to let you people know
What a blessing it is to be here once here. Thank you. People that got here, and I know the presence of the Lord is in this place. I hear about the Bulgarian, the Bulgarian, and the young people up here. It's just a blessing to my soul.
Amen.
I want you people to know you're doing a great job, and the Lord is here with you. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Appreciate you coming. We got a big job and a big God.
Amen.
And a bigger crowd than you think we got.
Amen.
You just don't see them all.
Amen.
My heart is broken and I'm torn because of what I saw and what I have realized, and I know that it's out there. But our churches that Jesus died for, that he purchased with his own blood, and they're in distress. Sort of like army when you've got a bunch of folks over yonder cut off and they can't get no help, can't get no supplies, and you can't get nobody into them. The enemy's got them surrounded. But I'm glad that somebody can come down from above.
Amen.
I mean, the paratroopers are not all gone yet.
Amen.
Spiritually, I'm talking about. God can move in from up there, or wherever he wants to, however he wants to. He can do it. Now, I mean, I'm a-thinking, seriously, and this will hope will go out on the radio, that God will let us go every Saturday night to some of these churches, especially in my home church and other churches on Saturday nights, to try to help them fight the battle that they need to fight.
Amen.
Tell them about Jesus and how good he is.
Amen.
Get some of that junk out of their mind that somebody's put in. I mean, the devil has got men everywhere poking stuff in the mind of people that they just can't make it. They can't make it. Because they think, well, I can't make that. I can't live up to that. They can't. Nobody can.
Amen.
Jews couldn't do it and Gentiles can't do it.
Amen.
So I think it's time for us to take back over some of the stuff that's been took over by the devil. Go get in there and get them.
Amen.
Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying.
Amen.
Whatever you have to do it, just don't worry about it. Now you pray for me. I was looking the other day at old Patton, and I know he said a lot of bad words, but he done a lot of good.
Amen.
He got upset. He is a good leader.
Amen.
I got to think, I mean, I got something on me listening to him, and I got sick after that. I thought I'd need to take back over like old Patton did in his army. I'm in the spiritual side of it I'm talking about.
Amen.
And just rise up and tell you and tell everybody else.
Amen.
Jesus died for your sin.
Amen.
He rose again the third day for your justification. He forgave you everything you've ever done. He is the Savior of man. And he has done what he said. And I mean, don't ever let me hear you talking about it. You're supposed to love one another and you better start doing it. Supposed to love the church with all that's in you. You better start. I want to read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. I want to talk to you tonight about this. I'm not really sure what I'm going to say and have no idea which way I'll go or if I'll say anything worth anything to you or not, but might help me. Paul said, who now rejoice in my suffering for you. Ain't that good? And here's a man that said, I'm rejoicing in my suffering for you.
Amen.
Talking about the church. Wouldn't you like to do a little bit of that? How'd you like to get in there? Oh, well, like Paul was, said, I'm rejoicing in it. I'm rejoicing in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, I mean, that's a big verse, isn't it? Here's a man that's saying, I'm rejoicing that I'm suffering and I'm filling up the affliction that is behind of the suffering of Jesus. in my body. Now you see, Jesus suffered so you could have salvation.
Amen.
He got all his suffering done at Calvary for your salvation. But Paul said, I'm a suffering and filling up what is behind of the affliction of Christ.
Amen.
In my body, for his body's sake.
Amen.
For the church.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you right now, instead of us running around here talking about how bad they are and who all is not living right, we ought to talk about how good it is to know they're saved. And to know about their faith. And to know about their love. And to know about what they're doing for God. And what they have done for God. And like I said, I mean, I think we ought to go back out there and some of these places that have been defeated by the devil, we ought to go back out and take them over. I mean, listen, you say, but preacher, they have not invited us. I don't care whether they invite you or not. They didn't invite Jesus to this world, but he came down in here anyway. They didn't invite Paul to the cities. They got him and put him in jail because he come uninvited. I'm not waiting on somebody to invite or vote. Bless God, it's not time for us to sit around waiting on somebody out there that's done and have been bound by Satan and hell and the devil. I mean, for a church to have to suffer because we are over here and saying, well, there ain't nothing we can do about it. Try it one time.
Amen.
Get in here and decide I'm going to stay with God and stay with the church. And stay with the man of God that's trying to stay in there. And I'm going to stick in there and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
Amen.
God chose every one of us.
Amen.
To fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
To be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And so you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. This life ain't got nothing to do with what I'm preaching about. This world ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. You say, well, we got to live in it. Well, I know you have to. But you can live a lot better if you let him live in you while you're living. I mean, if you let Christ, Paul said, I'm not living. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I mean, I'm not living within myself. It's Christ in me that lives in me. Now let me read to you. Who now rejoice. Paul is saying, I'm rejoicing. Oh my God, that's a lot different than most of folks, you know. If they have to suffer a little bit for the Lord, somebody looks cockeyed at them, they say, I'll tell you right now, I think I'll find me a church where I can have a good time in. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. He was suffering. Everywhere Paul went, I mean, he was rejected.
Amen.
Are you listening? I mean, he wasn't accepted in every church. He wasn't accepted in every city. In fact, most of them, he put him in jail. Everywhere he went, they put him in jail. He suffered for the church's sake. For Jesus' sake, for what Jesus done and what Jesus had left here for us to do. And there is a little suffering along.
Amen.
Paul said, I'm rejoicing in it. Another place, Paul said, I take pleasure in necessity. Oh, folks say, well, we got to have a little pleasure, you know. Why don't you take? Won't you get where you ought to be with God and get to walking in there where you ought to, and it'll be fun for you to enjoy Jesus. Even with them putting stripes on your back, it'd make you feel good. I mean, Paul and Silas over in the jailhouse that night beat half to death. And one of them looked over to the other and said, I believe we ought to sing a song to the Lord. And bless God, they started singing. The first thing you know, turned into a prayer meeting or vice versa. Maybe the prayer meeting turned into a song service. I don't know which it was. But they wasn't praying to get out of jail. And they wasn't praying that God would kill a jailer. And they wasn't praying for all this other bad stuff to happen. They're just thanking God, I believe, that they're counted worthy
to be where they're at. I believe they thank God that they wasn't going to hell, and they thank God that He'd saved them. And I believe they thank God for what He had done for them. And I believe they said, Paul said to Silas, you know, I just prayed God that He loved me good enough to save me. And I'm so glad He let me preach His gospel. And I'm glad He chose me from my mother's womb to bring the grace of God to the Gentiles and reveal Amen. Jesus to them.
Amen.
I believe old Paul got saved, and Paul said, Silas said, I tell you what, I think we'll just sing a song.
Amen.
It ain't too bad to be a Christian if you got God in you.
Amen.
And if you're walking in love and walking in the Spirit and walking in Jesus. And I read about all that the other day in this chapter here. He said in verse 6 of chapter 2, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in Him.
Amen.
It also says to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
We need to walk in the Spirit, and then we need to walk in Jesus.
Amen.
It'd be nice. Somebody see you and think you're Jesus. You act so much like Him, walk so much like Him. You ever hear of anybody said, you know, I can tell who He is because of who He walked. He walked just like His Father. I've seen people that by their walk, you could tell whose youngin' they was.
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful? Imitated the one that loved them.
Amen.
And brought them into this world. The Bible said, who now rejoice in my suffering for you. He said, I'm doing this for you. Now he said, Jesus had already done all this other good stuff up here. Let me read verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile us all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And listen to this. In the body of His flesh, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight.
Amen.
Now, I mean, through the flesh of Jesus, through the death of Jesus, that's exactly what He done. He died to present me holy.
Yeah.
I mean, son, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as I know, and I've read this Bible 60 years, I believe that I'm holy in the Lord today.
Amen.
I mean, He can present me to Jesus today, this evening, and me down here in this flesh, He can still present me holy, because the man He saved on the inside is holy. Thank God.
Amen.
He can say, Father, that's old brother Fred. He's holy.
Amen.
Ah, you say, but don't you sin? Not that He knows about. Not that He can find out anything about.
Amen.
He'll know nothing about my sins. Ain't that good?
Amen.
He has no idea where they are.
Amen.
Last time that God saw my sins was in Jesus.
Amen.
He that knew no sin was made sin for us.
Amen.
And He drunk my sins. I believe He drunk them in the garden.
Amen.
The Bible said He bore our sins in His body.
Amen.
Not on His body, but in His body.
Amen.
And the last time God ever seen my sin is when His Son cried out, my God. And God turned around.
Amen.
Jesus died without Him looking.
Amen.
And when He come out of the grave, honey, He didn't have my sins. He didn't have your sins.
Amen.
He took the sin of you and I and put them somewhere. And I hope it's in hell. It's where they ought to be. Because Jesus did go to hell.
Amen.
And said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, to suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And I think he left him in hell. Last time God ever heard of my sins was when Jesus took them in his body.
Amen.
You say, I don't understand that. Well, honey, your problem is not understanding. It's believing.
Amen.
See, God don't justify you by understanding.
Amen.
He justifies you by faith.
Right.
He justifies you when you believe what it says
Amen.
In here.
Amen.
So my sins are gone.
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
Don't have to worry about my sins anymore. I'm holy. Not only am I holy, but the Bible said I'm unblameable. That means I don't have any blame. You can't blame me for anything. Blame me for everything you want to, but I'm unblameable.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Unblameable.
Amen.
I mean, just put it all on me. You can't make God believe it.
Amen.
I've had people say, I'm going to tell God on you. Well, tell him all you want to, honey. Jesus doesn't fix that for me. Are you listening to me? Are you paying attention to what I'm saying? You say, well, that's hard to believe that you I know it's hard to believe. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. You need to believe what he's done for you.
Amen. Yes, amen.
We're holy and unblameable and unreprovable
amen.
Before him in love.
Amen.
Now let me get back down to where I'm preaching. Or in his sight. I read that wrong. We're unreprovable in his sight.
Amen.
Now, of course, that's not in everybody's sight. Of course, you ain't Jesus.
Amen.
You can see fault in me. And I know that you look at me and you say, well, you're not holy. Well, I know you can't see it.
Right.
And you're not unblameable. Well, I know, but that's in his sight.
Amen.
Hey, ain't you glad he's the one doing the looking?
Yeah.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Ain't you glad that he's the one doing the looking? Now you say, preacher, how am I going to get so I can enjoy what Paul was saying here in this first part that you read about who now rejoices? Well, in the verse between what Jesus done and what we ought to be doing, here's a verse 33. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister, who now rejoiceth. If you'll keep that faith, you see, this ain't got nothing to do with what Jesus done, you being unholy, or holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. See, this verse here is not connected with that one. It's a saying. Now if you keep the faith, you believe God, you can hang in there and you can fight the devil. You can suffer for the church. But if you lose faith, you're going to sit here and say, well, we can't go over and take none of them churches back. Well, don't look at me. I'm the general. I've been reading the map. I know how to come in the back way.
Right.
Don't look at me. I mean, I'm an old man. I've been in war before. You little squirts that ain't never been in one and don't want to get one, all you want to do is just chew your chewing gum. I mean, all you want to do is just be, oh, you like to be a soldier, but you don't want to go to the battlefield.
Amen.
Shut up. We don't need you. Go home.
Amen.
Go back to mommy.
Amen.
We need men.
Amen.
Men that God's chose to be a good soldier. Get out of this whiny stuff and get out of this puny stuff and get out of this junky stuff and leave home and leave all your friends at home. Leave your sweetheart back home. I mean, everybody that ever went to the service had to leave their wife or their sweetheart and go and fight and sweat and bleed and die and just had to leave them all.
Yeah.
Half time didn't have a whole lot to eat. Half time didn't have nothing to eat. Half time you was sleeping out in the snow up to your knees. And all we got to have it comfortable now. And if everybody ain't for me, I ain't going. Well, shut up. You ain't never going to do nothing for God. You ain't never going to be a good soldier. I mean, you ain't caring nothing about the church. Shut up about this business. If you don't want to go, I said pack up and leave. And you'll be A-W-O-L. Absent without leave. Because God don't let you get out just cause you are a little puny whiny fella. There'll be somebody come by, some old sergeant will come by one of these days, get a hold of you and shake the devil out of you. Put you back in there and say, boy, you do me so many push-ups. You know, I wouldn't doubt if it wouldn't be a good thing for the pastor sometime to say, okay, fall in here. You fellas don't want to do right? Do me some push-ups. You want to raise hell all the time? Let me see you do that a while. Run around this church about 15, 20, 30 times. See how you like that. See, I mean, I'm thinking about taking this thing back over. Church, children's home, mission work, and everybody in connection with it. And tell you what I mean that you're going to do. Or you're going to get out of here, or I'm going to stop you to the ground. That's the way it ought to be. We pussyfooted around and been little sweet, nice folks and let folks do as they please and raise hell when they want to. Shut up about that stuff. I think it's time to stop it. People out yonder are dying. People on the battlefield dying. People that used to be in is captured. They've done been defeated. They're sitting down in a concentration camp all over this county and all over this country in churches every Sunday in a concentration camp with a barbed wire fence around them. They can't get out because of some little program that some screwball put around them. It's time for us to go in, liberate the camp, get the saints out, get them back on the firelight, get them back to praying, get them back to singing, get them back to fight the devil, get them back to glorifying God. Time for them getting out of this mess. Paul said, I'm rejoicing. I looked at old Pat the other day, and you'll forgive me for this, I'm sure, but that's better to look at them soap operas. Ain't it? And all that other junk you see on there, this is real stuff. I was there. I know what it's like. He went out there, and boy, they had defeated the whole outfit. Went in, broke in, got a bunch that had been captured. He's walking around out through among them dead boys, Germans and Americans. He said, boys, I like this. I like this. He'd won a victory. Amen. You said, was he happy they died? No, but it took that to get the victory. Amen. Bless God, it's going to take death for the church to get the victory. You don't sit around leaving it up.
Amen.
While the world's going to hell.
Amen.
You're going to have to die.
Amen.
To what you like.
Amen.
To what you want.
Amen.
To what you think. Amen. And to how you want folks to treat you.
Amen.
You're going to have to get your shoes muddy once in a while.
Amen.
Get your knees muddy once in a while.
Amen.
Crawl under the barbed wire once in a while. Dodge the bullets once in a while.
Amen.
But keep on going.
Amen.
These little pussyfooting Christians that we've got in the world today ain't worth powder. Oh, you say, boy, they need to get right up in Washington. They're not the ones that let us get out.
Amen.
We're the crowd.
Amen.
The church is the one that went down first.
Amen.
We're the one that opened the door for the devil to come in. We're the one that said we're rich and increased in goods and we don't have a need of anything.
Amen.
We didn't know we was poor and miserable and blind and naked and ignorant and stupid and whatever else you want to think about it.
Amen.
So, well, if we could get us a fellow educated that know Greek, That's exactly what's killed us all.
Amen.
I'd rather have an old man who could tear a bear in two, that wouldn't know his ABCs. And could whip a lion that had the power of God on him. Than to have some of these big dudes that knows when Jesus is coming and when the tribulation's going to take place. And how many hairs is in the horse's tails in Revelation 19. Who cares? Sitting around counting hairs and horse's tails while the world's going to hell and the church is going under. And saying, well, what can we do? Do what I'm just preaching to you to do.
Amen.
Rejoice in the suffering that you have to do to get it done.
Amen.
Rejoice when you have to do it when you don't feel like doing it.
Amen.
Rejoice when you have to stay in there 7 days a week, day and night.
Amen.
I told somebody, I thank God that God ain't never took a day off.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If he ever takes a day off, this whole outfit will go to hell.
Amen.
I mean, here we are. All we look forward to is a paycheck and a vacation.
Amen.
I'm talking about in the service of God. I'm talking about preachers. Put this on the radio and put it out loud.
Amen.
Got them a business.
Amen.
You don't have businesses in the army.
Amen.
You're under command of somebody else.
Amen.
You're not to have some kind of a program where you can make a big lot of money. No, you're in there to do what you're supposed to do. Because I'm not talking about the army we got now. No, I'm not talking about the one where men and women sleep in the same barrack. Great God, I mean, that's sick.
Amen.
That's sick.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that sick?
Amen.
And then you law them to commit adultery. Well, my God. That's like turning animals into each other. And say, now, if you touch them, I'll shoot you. Because this outfit ain't got no more sense than animals. They've done give themselves over to the devil. Well, don't just sit there and look at me, holler amen while I'm trying to blow my nose once in a while. I've had the flu ever since I decided that we ought to get in on this thing. And I'm still coughing and hacking, but I'm still here.
Amen.
I felt like coming to church for the last 2 or 3 weeks, but I didn't want to miss because I want to be a good soldier. And I want to be a good example for you so when you're sick, you can come.
Amen.
So you won't have no excuse to lay out just because you've got a runny nose. Or a little wheezing in your chest. Or you got arthritis in your little finger. You ought to look at that poor old hand. I can't even shake hands with folks. Every time I shake hands with somebody, they think, what's wrong with you? Then I have to stop. I mean, it's not embarrassing down here at the church, but it is when I go to the doctor and he shakes hands with me and he looks at me. I'll have to say, I need an operation. Told the dentist that. He said, you'll have to get somebody else. I didn't aim for him to do it anyhow. But the Bible said, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul said, I'm a suffering in my flesh for his body. He suffered in his flesh for me. Now I'm suffering in my flesh for him. Now we don't want to do that. We want him to do all the suffering. You do all the dying and you do all the suffering and you sort of let us loose. No, we've got a church, and if we keep this thing like it ought to be, somebody will have to suffer.
Amen.
Somebody will have to go somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. Somebody's going to get stomped on. Somebody's going to get trapped on. But bless God, if you ever get God in you like you ought to have it, you can enjoy it while they're doing it. You can shout while they're stomping you. You can shout while they're beating you. You can shout while you're sitting in jail. You can shout, and you ought to get ready. We might have to go, but praise God. If Paul could do it, I believe his grace is sufficient for the rest of us. This church is more important than your house, your home, your wife, your youngins, your car, your television, your grandpa, your granny, or your mammy, or whoever. The church ought to be more important to you than anybody else. This church ought to be important to Brookside, because nothing else will keep you from being here when the doors are open. But about half of my crowd says, well, you know, I'm saved by grace. Well, I don't know that you can prove that. I don't know how you prove a man saved by grace that don't ever have none. Looks like a man saved by grace, he'd have a little once in a while. Doesn't it? And looks like if a man saved by love, he'd produce a little once in a while. Well, you say the crowd's not here that you ought to be preaching to. Well, I'll tell you, because you'll tell it. I mean, my God, you'll send this tape out, if nothing else, to get the news out. And that's good. I like it that way. Send it wherever you want to whosoever you will. Because I'd like for them to know that I'm sick of this outfit sitting around here. Well, you know, we got to sing out of the Baptist hymnal. We sung out of two this morning. And then they said, we're going to get the Baptist hymnal. I said, my God, what's the other two we sung out of? Was they carrying magic or something? I mean, what matter? What song? Which one does it matter what book you're singing out? Because the name ain't got a thing to do with it. Bless God, there's the meanest crowd in the world is some of these Baptists. They've lied to you about a whole lot of things and let the church die. And then this other crowd comes by with a bunch of music and a whole lot of drums and a whole lot of woo-woo, you know, and glory and hallelujah and give God a hand. They're the clapping today, I said. They didn't used to do that in this church. When they got happy, they shouted. Of course, they didn't get happy. They just clapped. I said, you got that off of the TV. That kind of stuff didn't come from God. You're listening. Be sure you put that on the radio. That kind of stuff didn't come from God. That come from another source. And there's another spirit, another Jesus, and another gospel. And they've got it. I'm still preaching the same one. Whereof I made a minister. Now this is for the church. And whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, like old Paul, bless God, he didn't cut no corners with nobody. He wasn't trying to stay in with the brethren. Every time he got with them, he had a fuss. He did. They come up and said, you got to sit in Moses' seat to be saved and get circumcised. He said, it ain't so. Amen. He said, James and Peter, Peter said, he withstood Peter to his face. Amen. Didn't get behind his back. He said, Peter, you know you're doing wrong. You know you ain't telling it right. You said, didn't he lose a lot of revivals? Well, sure he did. Bless God, they wouldn't have him in revival down in Jerusalem. He had to go up in Macedonia and some of them other kind of places. Amen. Started him some churches that nobody else had been to. I like that. Amen. He didn't try to copy the brethren. Amen. He said, I didn't get it from man. I ain't going to preach it from man. And I ain't listening to man. I got mine from God. Amen. And God helped this outfit that got theirs from man. Amen. When all that God's got, listen, I mean, he's got it all in Jesus. I mean, it said in in verse 3 of chapter 2, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's in the Father and the Son. Amen. All of the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Now, if you want to get out of wisdom and knowledge, get with the Father and the Son. Have them to come down to your house and talk to them a while, and you'll get filled up with more wisdom and knowledge than this world can conceive or receive of you.
Amen.
But you get some little philosopher, some screwball, that tells you, "Buff, God, you got to live right or you can't get to heaven." He's a liar.
Amen.
I thought about preaching this. I thought about preaching over about that leaven. I told William, I said, "I think I'll preach on take your leaven and go to hell. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump."
Amen.
And this crowd that come by and says, "You've got to have some works." I mean, it don't take but a half a bottom of a spoonful, a fourth of a thimble, ruin a whole church. Get some screwball in there and said, "Well, I know, but you got to live right or God won't bless you." Now, he better do a pretty good job to this outfit. And I mean, I know you better than I know any other church. But great God, if the rest of them are sorrier than we are,
amen,
God help us.
Amen. Amen.
We can cuss out loud in front of everybody and rear back and say, "Isn't that wonderful?" No, it's mean as hell. We can talk about one another and think that we're doing God a favor. That's a bunch of junk. We can despise. Oh, I mean, there's just a lot of things we can do, and we do. I mean, Brookside ain't the best church as far as living right. But see, they don't have to live right. I've done told them enough about Jesus. They done found out it's Him that's right. And we're not right and can't get right. Our flesh will never be right. Your flesh is the enemy to God. And you ain't never going to get the junk straightened out. Forget about it. As far as getting it straightened out. But you ought to crucify it. You ought to die daily. You ought to kill the old man. And every time he raises up and says, "I don't like that preacher," slap him down. And every time he raises up and says, "I don't like him Sunday school teacher," just slap him bald-headed. Knock his eyeballs out. Keep him shutting up. Just say, "Listen, flesh, you shut up. You got nothing in this. You don't have nothing in this because you're sorry, rotten as hell, and I don't want to hear your old tongue." I got to reading in James the other day, and I got to hurry and quit. But I got to reading in James the other day where it says out of the tongue comes blessing and cursing. But James said that oughtn't to be so. I mean, God won't let a tree, a fig tree, bring forth other kind of fruits. And God don't let a fountain bring forth sweet water and bitter water. But He let us get by with that. For a little while, I guess. He decided he might cut that tongue off. I mean, hey, I want to tell you something. I'm seeing some things that's scaring me. Now, I mean, you never get out of the body of Christ. But you can have a stroke. Or your limb won't be worth a nickel. You might be the limb. You can kid yourself about I'm living and I'm growing, I'm bearing fruit. You're dead as last year's bird's nest. You better wake up. See, the church is important. Paul said, "I'm rejoicing that I can suffer it. I'm filling up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, the church." You say, "I don't understand all you preached." I didn't either, but I preached it. You say, "I didn't like it." Well, that's tough stuff. Tough stuff. I mean, if you ever get right of God, you'll come hug my neck and think, "That old man, He's been through some things. He knows a little more than he thinks he does. I told him today, I said, I act ignorant and stupid. Sometimes I'm not as ignorant as you think I am. I get by with a lot of things, playing ignorant, playing possum. You notice, if you just, you know. I mean, I'm not smart. I don't say I'm smart now. Don't get me wrong. I didn't say I'm smart. I'm just stupid in a few things, but ignorant in a few. But I might not be as blind as you think I am. I ain't got 20/20 vision, but I can still see. I don't have to have a seeing dog yet. Some of you think I ought to get one. But I don't have to have a stick with marks on it. I can still see enough to get around, spiritually and physically. Thank God for both of them. But I want to tell you something. I ain't as dumb as you think I am about this whole business. The church is going down because we are letting it.
Amen.
Now, you shout about that overseas all you want to, and that's good. But if this over here goes down, there ain't going to be no overseas. So you're on the battlefield over here, and they're on the battlefield over there. So we need to fight over here to keep this door open so that door over there will stay open.
Amen.
I mean, you just can't just do this stuff lopsided.
Amen.
So I want you to do one thing for me. Pray this week that God will put it on somebody to call us and say, come to our church on Saturday night and bring all your church and bring all your children and sing and preach to us. Maybe we can get a little help. Wouldn't that be good? And if they don't ask me and God puts it on me, I'll just go anyhow. Take them over. Just surround the church and start preaching. Walking around the church. You say, you're stupid. Why, sure. They wouldn't know what to do with that, would they? I mean, I done told them over. I said, we don't vote but one way. I told them today. And John Gooch, I believe it was, said, ain't supposed to vote at all. There wasn't but one business meeting in the New Testament. He's right. Elected the wrong fellow that time. They ought to quit voting. Bless God, we ought to rise up and follow the Holy Ghost. And follow Him and go where we ought to go and take over this outfit that's going to hell. Appreciate these boys going to the detention center and they're going down to the flea markets to preach and hell is going to break out on us over that. But I hope that we'll get every Sunday and Monday and Saturday and whenever else filled up. People know we're here anyhow.
Amen.
But they'll know that Jesus lives. And they'll hear the truth before they go to hell. That they will hear it. We are responsible to tell them the truth. Let's stand on our feet. You come back Thursday night, you've got to take the harness off. Thursday night. This is Sunday. I don't know, we've got that been so screwed up today. I don't know what day it is.
Thursday night, come back and bring everybody you can. Get to God if you can, and let's get some things on our minds. And if you get any of that, you might have to be with it. Come tell me. Don't be afraid to say, God put it on me to do this. If I don't think you did, I tell you did. If I can find out about it. Well, see, I want to help you to be a good soldier. I want to lead you in the right direction. If I don't have it, you ain't going to get it. That's fine, I guarantee you. I mean, if the leader ain't got it, the rest of you sit there and dry up.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for Brookside.
Amen.
I'm glad no woman has to get up to come in. We need to take a break.
Pretty good.
And they've done that for years. Smoke. I hope people know they're a kitchen. Bad. But anyhow, take a break. God help. I appreciate you women keeping your mouth shut.
Amen.
Except when you shout. Just keep it open. Father, I thank you for your presence, your love, and kindness, and mercy.
all the good things you've done for us. Now, Lord, you know how come me to be stirred up? I've been stirred up for a little longer to where we can go for some reason. Father, I don't know, but whatever. If we get stirred to the place, and I'll not rest till I do what I see you want me to do. And this church will do what they ought to do. We've got to be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong. Times are coming when we're going to need grace, faith, and mercy.
Amen.
I pray to help us in Jesus' name. Amen.